Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, we got plenty to talk about this week. We got a lot of fighting action. Some big fights last week on the UFC card. We already got a canceled fight this week before the happened actually today. News came out that one of the fights in UFC just got canceled. Ian Garry has pneumonia. And
that sucks.
Yeah, probably not a good idea to fight with that. I mean, you can fight the pneumonia, just not fight in the cage with pneumonia. Anyway, so we got that. We got a little bit of boxing news. Remember, we talked about a little bit about Prime Video possibly acquiring PBC. Well, they've done that. I don't know if we mentioned that last week, but that deal has been done already. So it's just a rumor now. So thankfully, I have Prime Video. Amazon Prime, on the other hand, I don't really trust because they can't deliver to my house.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah. So yeah, Amazon Prime. Now you can watch your BBC free events there, and you know they won't be interrupted by a football game or a basketball game, or whatever happens. Like. With the UFC fight sometimes. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. So, just looking through the results from last week. Watching. Tomorrow stuff. Results.
So you know, I find amusement in pretty much anything anymore. So a few months ago, I went and I tortured myself for 2 hours by watching Creed 3. That was terrible.
Oh, jeez.
But there was a scene in the movie, okay, so it starts off where Michael B. Jordan avenges his loss in the first movie to the Lewis character. And in the first movie, they were both light heavyweights. So by the second movie, obviously, he has to move up to heavyweight because he's fighting a guy that's huge, being the son of Ivan Drago. So then in the third movie, you know, fighting an old friend of his that's out of prison, so on and so forth. So since he's supposed to be retired, one of his proteges is now the heavyweight champion of the world. Okay. And I'm like, boy, well, guy doesn't look that big for a heavyweight. Then I realized he doesn't look that big for a heavyweight because it's Jesse Benavidez, who in real life is a welterweight. Because the other week the fight came on, I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, that's right, Jesse Benavidez. And he's fighting Danny Garcia. And I'm like, yeah, no shit, he looks small in that movie. He's a fucking welterweight.
Yeah, crazy. Anyway, so last week, down in Australia, we had, or New Zealand, I don't know, I can't always distinguish those two fights. Andrew Maloney beat, no, not that one. The other one. Alex Walters moved to 19-1 when he beat, by unanimous decision, Sam Solomon. Could not get his 50th win of his middleweight career. That is to set the Orion Function.
How old is Sam Solomon now? 75?
Jeez, I don't know. He's been around a while. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
49-17 now with one draw. Well, 49-18 now. Andrew Maloney also fought down there at a different place Saturday, though. Proved to 26-3, was also a unanimous decision against Judy Flores, falls to 13-2 at flyweight, actually super flyweight. All right, some of these all went in some foreign country here on Saturday. Bernardin Djokaj won by unanimous decision over Inad Numanovic. Had the more experience. He was 23-0, so he falls to 23-1 at light heavyweight, and Bernadette Jacquard gets the unanimous decision. Let's get someone. I hate this new computer sometimes. I right click on shit. It's just one mouse button. Do you guys ever get that mode where you're like really feeling old because all this technology is starting to confuse the fuck out of you?
Oh, dude, I ain't getting horrible anymore with technology.
So it's supposed to be easier, but it's hard as fuck. It's like, why is there just one
button? Oh, yeah. It's definitely harder.
Even scanning my card, you know, you get the new devices at the counter there that they make you do it like slanted. I'm used to just doing it straight up the side or straight on the top. You know, why you got to slant on me? This is some bullshit. Anyway. December 13th, geez, we had fights yesterday.
When you go to buy something, and it's like, you see a size on it, and then you buy it, and then you realize it's slim fit. Well, I haven't been a slim fit in a lot of years. So I get like a 2XL, and I feel like I'm wearing a medium.
Yeah. Oh, actually, on Sunday, I missed one. Zankosh Torarov stayed undefeated. 28-0 with a unanimous decision. Takes the IBO World Super Lightweight belt and the WBA Gold World Super Lightweight belt, which was vacant. Took the opportunity from Akihiro Kondo with a K. Not available for rent. It's 37-11-2 was his record going in, so he falls to 37-12. Saturday. Oh, here's one from across the pond, as they say. Chris Billiam Smith won in the eighth round. RTD, 18-1 over Matus Masternak, who came in at 47-5. Goes to 47-6 now, cruiserweight. And then we had one go the distance at welterweight. Michael McKinson, 26-1 now, beating Musa Mawson. Falls to 11-1, takes his first loss. An opportunity to win the WBC International Silver Welterweight title, which was also vacant. Goes to McKinson now. All right. At the National Training Center in Montreal. Oh, these must be three rounds. Yes, these are amateur fights. Everything. All kinds of countries. Let's see. Idle fights. Okay, here we go. We're on Thunder Studios in Long Beach. We had Brandon Leon Benitez improve to 21-2 with a knockout win over Rigoberto Hermosillo. That's a six-round knockout. 14-5-1 is Hermosillo's record now. That was for the WBO NABO featherweight title. And then we have one just go three rounds. Mark Magseo taking care of business against kind of a journeyman. Tune-up fight, I believe I called it. He is 25-2 now. Knocked out Isaac Avalar, close to 17-7. George Acosta coming in at 16-1, goes to 17-1 with a UD over Richard Medina, lost to 15-2. And that's, I bet this guy's nickname is Super, Mario Hernandez. Mario Hernandez improves to 11-4-1. Beating Adrian Alvarado, lost to 8-2 at bantamweight with one draw. No surprise, Regis, not the talk show host, but the boxer, Regis Progress, he fell to 29-2, did not get his 30th win over Devin Haney, lost by unanimous decision. And
yeah, I didn't watch it for that in order that fight. And from what I heard, it was a relatively comfortable Haney win.
Yeah, I entered a shutout. You know, kind of one of those fights after the first couple rounds, you just know where it's going.
Right.
All right. Regis was not going to quit, but he just, and Haney really seemed bigger.
You're not the first person to say that. Somebody else said that, and they said maybe he was really draining himself at the lower weight.
Yeah, I mean, I know that, of course, it was 140 was the limit, but he looked bigger than that. So maybe he's really got the rehydration down pretty good, because it looked like he was at least a welterweight.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, Regis tried, but it just wasn't happening. He couldn't really land. When he did land, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
And tough night for him.
Well, to even get that opportunity and that payday has to be nice. To go the distance is kind of a victory in itself, but, you had to go in there knowing that the odds are stacked against you, a guy like that. But, more power to him. He didn't get knocked out. I guess you could say that to his buddies. But he's walking around town with his black eyes. Anyway, Liam Paro in the co-main event stayed undefeated. 24-0 now with a knockout. He gave no love to Montana Love. He lost 18-2-1 in the WBO Global Super Lightweight title. Goes to Liam Paro. And then Ebony Bridges loses a fight by unanimous decision. She falls to 9-2. Obviously didn't take Mayo Yoshida seriously enough. She improves to 17-4, gets the IBF World Bantamweight Championship. I had actually not heard about this one until I just read it. That was a 10-rounder, two-minute rounds. And Ebony Bridges got a lot of attention in the boxing world for not just her fighting, but I guess you could say her figure. She has, made a lot of attention at the weigh-ins and, anywhere else she can. So anyway, she actually was in the news last week. I didn't get to discuss it. I kind of had the article up in one of my tabs, but never clicked on it. But she's actually been doing a lot of business stuff with Conor McGregor, and everybody, I'm sure, is wondering if there's more than just business going on between them two. But, apparently she has come out and said that basically he's teaching her, how to do a lot of big business moves outside of boxing and not just rely on boxing and fighting to keep her family fed, and keep her wealthy and happy for the rest of her life. So, talk about a business power couple right there. Boy, they got into the combat sports. It'd be like Stephanie McMahon and Triple H. In wrestling. So, who knows? But, she lost by unanimous decision. And this was actually a replacement fighter for somebody she was supposed to face. So, that makes it even a bigger surprise. So, second loss of her career. Andy Cruz, I don't know why they're showing it, 1-0 fighter, but he knocked out Giovanni Strafond, got the IBF International Lightweight title in his second fight. He must have a hell of a career or something. Andy Cruz. Strafond was 26-5 coming in with one draw. Got knocked out in the third round. Whew. And then Destiny Jones at Super Featherweights. It was not her destiny to go more than 8 rounds. She fell to 5-2. Beatrice Pereira got the win, goes to 4-0. And a couple other big ones for titles. And Charles F. Dodge City Center, Pembroke Pines. I don't know how they don't tell you what state. Robesi Ramirez lost by majority decision. Falls to 13-2. Rafael Espinoza stays undefeated. Another fighter going to 24-0 at featherweight. WBO World Featherweight Championship goes to Espinoza. We had Xander Zayas. Yes, he is still undefeated now, 18-0. Fifth round knockout of Jorge Fortea. Fortea came in with a lot of experience, 24-3-1. Gets his fourth loss. So I'm sure a couple titles too for Zayas, NABF Super Welterweight and WBO NABO Super Welterweight. Nowadays, I guess, you know, you've got the mainstream good title if it doesn't have any like initials in the middle. Like, so you gotta have the initials in the front and then the weight in the title. That's it. That's the legit title. Espinoza, he won the WBO World Featherweight title, all right? That's pretty plain English. Once we get into the NABO.
I got the lock. And you know what? I mean, I think we're in the last few weeks of the year. We're a lot of times early in the year, you're like, you're looking at a candidate for fight of the year, a early candidate for fight of the year. Well, that's a potential right there, fight of the year, because, boy, what a barn burner. I mean, he came out fast. And then it looked like, you know, when he took the knockdown, we're like, okay, it's starting to, you know, play out the way it should. But boy, did he come back. And that last round, boy, did he come back.
Yeah. All right, now we're getting into Friday.
You know, well-deserved victory, too.
So, coming up this weekend... Yeah, we got some stuff tomorrow. We got the Angel fight of the week tomorrow. We have a Jesus fight.
We got the big one on Saturday, don't we?
We got Friday night in Buenos Aires. Jose Angel Gabriel Rosa can improve to 24-0 if he beats Juan Herman Leal. He's 15-3 at super lightweight for the WBA Fedolatin super lightweight title. And the WBC Latino Super Latino. At least they're Latinos. A female fight on that card, too. Myra Moneo, 13-1, fighting a 2-minute 10-rounder against Lisbeth Crespo, who is 15-6. That's for the WBC Interim World Lightweight title, which is vacant. Now, somebody's always got to go tomorrow. From Australia, Sam Goodman, no relation to the Vegas Goodmans, I'm sure. The mayor and his wife is now the mayor. Sam Goodman, he's 16-0, fighting Zhang Liu, who's 19-0, super bantamweight. That's a 12-rounder, no title. Liam Wilson, 12-2, fighting Jackson John England, 15-2, super featherweight action. Then a title, IBF Australasian lightweight title. Ibrahim Bala, 15-2, fighting Yusuf Dib, 20-0 at lightweight. A lot of good fights tomorrow night, actually. Pretty nice, all right, for fighting. Caesar fight of the week. Caesar Ortiz Castellanos. 7-0, fighting Christian Medina Garcia, 6-1, lightweight. South of the border. Right. One WBC World Super Middleweight title, which is vacant up on the auction block here, basically. Ready for punching. Punching your way to a win there on the block. But Shadazia Green, 13-0, fighting, oh, this is a female title. Franchon Cruz de Zern is 8-2. 10-rounder, 2-minute rounds. 13-0 versus 8-2. Shadesia Green ranked number 2 at 7-08. Franchon Cruz Desert number 3. But it must fight on it. That's some of these are good to go. From France, Bruno Sarafe is 24-0-2, fighting Jean Jader Obregon, who's 11-0 for the EBU European Union middleweight title. That's the best one on that card. A German fight. Sarah Borman, 17-0, fighting a 10-rounder, 2-minute rounds, against Jessica Neri Plata, looking for her 30th win. She does have 2 losses, none of them recent. WBC World Light Flyweight title and the WBA Super World Light Flyweight title. Super World. You gotta go to like another planet or some fight to get the Super World champ. I don't know. That's pretty crazy. Let's see what else. So we're into Saturday now. On DAZN and ESPN Plus, you can watch Francesco Grandelli, 17-2-2, fight Stefan Boda, undefeated at 14-0 for the EBU European Union featherweight title, which is vacant. And Sandor Martin on the undercard, 41-3, fighting Mohamed El Marcucci. Marcucci is 29-3 for super lightweight. We got Ayala versus Espinoza in Tijuana, Baja California. Cesar Vaca Espinoza, 16-0-1. Facing Eric Robles Ayala, 14-1 for the WBO NABO Super Bantamweight title, which is vacant. Let's see what's on. Another somebody's O's got to go in Moscow. Mukhamed Shekhov, 13-0-1, fighting Leonardo Carrillo, 17-0-1. And on the undercard, the Russian super middleweight title is up for grabs. Konstantin Ponomarev, 35-2, facing Orkan Gadziev, who's 14-2. So it's still on Saturday. Across the pond, We got Apple Yard in a fight. Not a fight in the Apple Yard. We got Lee Apple Yard. That's his name. 19-7-1. Fighting Jack Rafferty. 21-0. Riff Rafferty. That's what they should call him. 21-0. Fighting Apple Yard. 19-7. Those are good British names. Fighting for the Commonwealth Boxing Council super lightweight title. And yet, from the Beacon of Light in Sunderland over in Great Britain, I don't know where that is, but Josh Kelly, 14-1-1, fighting Placido Ramirez, who's 24-3 at super welterweight. Actually pretty decent on paper fight. We'll see how it turns out in an actual live action. Another one at the Desert Diamond Arena in Glendale. That's on DAZN. Jesse Rodriguez, 18-0, facing Sonny Edwards, 20-0, for the IBF World Flyweight title and the WBO World Flyweight title. 2 legit straight-up titles. And it's number 2 versus the champion. Jesse Rodriguez versus Sonny Edwards. So we'll see. That's a good billing right there. Co-main event, Murad-Jan Akhmadaliev, 11-1, fighting Kevin Gonzalez, 26-0-1, super bantamweight tilt. Peter Holy McGrail. No. He's not a nickname, but that'd be funny. Fighting Jericho O'Quinn, 16-1-1. Galal, you're 5-5-0, fighting Rocco Santomaro, 22-2, for the WBC International Flyweight title. And we got, not Stephen Colbert, but Chris Colbert, 17-1, fighting Jose Valenzuela, 12-2, at the Armory in Minneapolis. David Murray, 9-0, title. Oh, crap. Clicked on a name. Didn't even know it is. Colbert, Cena Agbeko, WBA Super Middleweight title. Guess who else is on this card? Robert Guerrero.
The ghost?
7-6-1, fighting Andre Berto, 32-5.
Oh, my God. They fought before, didn't they? Like a decade ago?
Yeah, right.
If not longer.
This is wild.
Guerrero. That's why Guerrero beat him.
Well, geez, now I got to click on him. Guerrero. He's one of the guys I started writing about when I first started writing about boxing for this podunk site called The 13th Round. And then I branched off into my own MySpace site. Robert, 37-6-1. When he fought Guerrero. And he fought Berto. It was back in 2012. He won by
a
unanimous
decision.
Ago. Yeah.
11 years ago.
It's a Rain Man mind in action. It was for the WBC interim.
That's why you keep me around.
Title. Won by unanimous decision. How about that? I don't know how he could fight two times in a row for the interim world welterweight title. That's weird. Like, was it a tournament to keep it? I don't think I've ever seen that. Usually, you know, it's interim until you win it. You know, but he won it with the WBO interim world titles. And then, it was the WBC. He fought for next, but he didn't carry over the WBA and the WBO somehow. That's weird how that works. So anyway. Robert Guerrero. Let's see if he still got it. Sure.
Yeah.
Andre Berto, I think, is a good opponent for him. I think his last performance was a freaking thriller fight or something like that, wasn't it? He did one of those experimental.
Last time I even remember him, hearing his name, was when he fought Mayweather in like 2015. Because a friend of mine went out to it, and I'm like, dude, you're going to the fight after Mayweather fought Pacquiao. It's like, this is such a letdown.
Right. So we also have an undefeated fighter going against an undefeated fighter on this card. 21-0, Alberto Puello against Hector Madeira, 11-0. I'm not making the H silent. It just starts with me. Hector. Hector. Like ectoplasm. Hector Madeira, 11-0. Super lightweight. Then we got our true angel fight of the week. Number 33 at bantamweight against number 155. Michael Angeletti. He is 9-0, fighting Angel Antonio Contreras. 13-7-2. Can't make that shit up. Angeletti. That's a good Italian name. Okay. Did I miss anything?
Don't we get the big one on Saudi Arabia? That's next weekend. I'm sorry.
Heavyweights. Yeah. Fury. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Oh, we're talking about the one with the Fury's not till February.
Yeah, Fury's February. Yeah, exactly. Fury is February, but they've got quite a few next year.
Yeah,
next week.
Yeah, they've got the Parker,
what's his name? Anthony Joshua. He's fighting. Tom, who's he fighting again? Joshua.
I think he's Otto Waleed, the one that.
Otto Waleed. That's right. That's right. That's
yeah.
A good fight.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. It's such a good card. It's like the WrestleMania of boxing cards in Saudi Arabia.
Every time I hear that, I think of a battle royal, like opening up in a different one.
That's cool, man. That'd be good. You're thinking, man.
Got about three referees.
That'd be the next thing. Battle royal boxing.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, see, like, I guess the objective was to be the last guy in there.
Right.
So the villains would form alliances to get team up on the good guys, you know. So
right.
And I think there was some little cheating going on there. You know?
Not in wrestling. No, I refuse to believe that.
Never.
Oh, so wrestling was on the up and up.
I saw a clip the other day of Joe Rogan talking to Hulk Hogan about, you know, Hulk was telling him how he could hit you with a hammer and it wouldn't even hurt. You know, it would look like it really hurt. He's like, no! No, really? So, oh, yeah. Anyway. UFC Fight Night 33 went down over the weekend. You know, I didn't really do too well on my gambles. Small gambles, albeit, but, you know, I tried to pair together a bunch of stuff. I won a lot of 3 out of 5s and 2 out of 4s, but nothing really strung together. And then, you know, as towards the end of the night, as your parlays are starting to fall apart, you tend to, like, you know, put parlays together on the last 3 fights or the last 2 fights, see what happens. I really didn't anticipate Nasrat Haqparast getting a knockout. I figured, I think I even said last week on the show, that either go Nasrat by decision or Malarkey by knockout. Malarkey got knocked out. It was not a good week for Joe Biden's favorite fighter. He got TKO'd 1 minute and 44 seconds into the fight. So that kind of blew up my parlays. But I did have Khalil Roundtree by third round TKO, just as a side bet. So that worked out. Anthony Smith, I kind of felt, is towards the end of his career. And he had kind of a gift fight last outing. So Broner really didn't have the best gas tank. And he almost got knocked out himself early in that fight. So I thought Khalil Roundtree, being the patient type fighter he was, would get the job done when he got the job done in the third. And he did. Had a little bit of money on that. And then the main event, Yadong Song, was a good song to back. The main event against Chris Gutierrez. Gutierrez kind of tried to win a points fight, keep his distance, and just pester Yadong with a lot of crazy, stupid leg kicks. And it's just a very frustrating-to-watch style because, I mean, when he did exchange, he landed quite a bit, you know, but he just was doing, like, this little freaking river dance the whole damn fight with his footwork and his little leg kicks that didn't really seem to do much damage. But, yeah, I think he's going to throw a lot of that out the window and do something different because he got destroyed over the course of the 5-round fight. And Yadong Song just kind of weathered it early and then just adjusted and did the right stuff to defeat it. And Gutierrez kind of looked like he was leagues out of contention by the end of the fight. He had no chance to win. And it was kind of crappy to see that. I really thought he was going to do so much better. And for it to go the distance, you know, that would have been an easy to go the distance fight, but I really thought he was going to finish it. So, yeah. But sometimes they say you should just do the early fights. Not only the early fights, right? Tim Elliott, I knew it was going to be Sue Mudarji. It only took him 4 minutes and 2 seconds to get in our triangle. Finish that one out. Andre Muniz was a surprise, though, reading Jun Yong Park. I remember I told everybody to be double parked. It was a split decision, though, in all fairness. I thought Park actually did do enough to win. You know, some of the technical wrestling stuff. I mean, Muniz is just a bigger, stronger guy. Jun Yong Park is not going to win any bodybuilding competitions. But he was one step above the grappling ability of Jun Yong Park. But Park actually reversed a lot of the takedowns. And Muniz, when he had Yong Park in, you know, control, as so to speak, he did not do a lot of damage. Park was actually the one who was doing all the damage when he had control over Muniz. So I really disagreed with that decision. And my other Park won. So fuck the judges. I want my money back. Anyway, Kevin Doucette winning over Keenan Song. That was not the right song that night. He lost by unanimous decision. That was a tough one. Doucette, you know, kind of a young up-and-comer. I thought Song, with his decision, his, you know, experience, history, and, you know, time in the UFC over Kevin Doucette. Only really worked in the first round, his experience and his ability. After that, once Doucette adjusted and figured out what he had to do, he got the decision. It was a tough one. Keenan Song took a lot of damage to get that decision, to get it instead of a knockout. But, yeah, he took a lot of punches. And then Hyung Sung Park did what he was supposed to do, got the TKO or submission. So he was one of the ones I started off with. Good results over Shannon Ross. That was, I think, he was one of the ones with the highest odds to win, Ross. Crappy record. Steve Garcia beating Mel Quizel Costa by knockout. That, he was actually the underdog, Steve Garcia. And I picked him by knockout or submission. You got that in the second round, 1 minute and 1 second. Juan Santos over Stephanie Egger. It was a unanimous decision. Thought it might be a knockout there, but I did have the right girl on that one. Tatsuro Taira got a TKO over Carlos Hernandez in the second fight of the night. Took just 55 seconds. Oh, geez. Okay. 55 seconds. Hold on. First fight of the night was kind of a disappointment, as I did not have Talita Alencar winning. A bunch of early parlays. She beat Ran Amanda Dos Santos by split decision. Dos Santos was kind of doing well early, but Alencar just edged it out. It was a case of a couple of girls, I think, who had been on the Contender Series before. And they were given second opportunities. And I watched this entire fight, and I can guarantee that I would never want to watch another fight with either girl. Because it was a disaster. It's like, why did you two pick fighting, and how did you end up in the UFC? I wanted to say at the end of it. If I was the ring announcer or the ring interviewer, that would be my number one question. Like, how did you even get here? I know it was to win. Win is win. Sometimes it's ugly, but yeah, it did not like that fight. It's not. You do not impress me. I should have that clip from George St. Pierre. Anyway, big one this weekend, December 16th, from the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. We've got Donald Trump's favorite fighter. How about that? Last week we had Joe Biden's. Now this week we got Donald Trump's. Colby Covington. He is 17-3, fighting Leon Edwards, who is 21-3. And Edwards is just the most incredible win streak going on. He's last guy he lost to was Kamaru Usman. Yeah, that was quite a long time ago. It's beaten them twice since. But, yeah, it was 2015.
What is your money going at on this one, Rich?
You know what? This is a tough one. I want to say the safest bet on this one is to not pick either guy. It's to go by, to go the distance on a parlay, on a fight parlay, they call it, even though it's a one pick. It's just picking the exact method of the outcome. So you just say to go the distance, you don't have to pick either one. It's just a decision. You know, it's an easy way out, but it's also going to be fatal if one of these guys gets to finish.
The whole thing is, if Kobe, because you know the pace he keeps.
Yeah.
And he's got the grappling edge. So based on that, I like him. But the question is, what about the layoff?
Yeah. But then you factor in Edwards has had two fights with the same style guy, you know, two straight fights. He hasn't had live active competition with anybody different.
Uh-huh.
And Colby Covington's coming off the same situation that Edwards came off. His last loss is Kamaru Usman. Not really, it hasn't been that long. He hasn't really strung together a bunch of wins, but if you look at his record, he has fought some of the biggest names and beat them in the UFC. I mean, other than Usman, the only other guy he lost to was Worley Alves. And after he lost to that guy, he won like 7 fights in a row. Last one was Robbie Lawler.
So the question will be Kobe's chin, because you know he's just going to keep the pressure on.
But most of his wins come by decision. You look at his last fight, that was a decision win over Jorge Masvidal. And his last TKO was due to a rib injury over Tyron Woodley. Before that, he had he lost to Usman there twice, once by decision, once by TKO. So you had to go back to 2016 to find his next TKO. He had 5 straight decisions. Brian Barberena, Dong Hyun Kim, Demian Maia, Rafael Dos Anjos, and Robbie Lawler before losing to Usman there. And Covington loves the spotlight, you know, and he wants that belt. He really wants that belt. Leon Edwards, gotta love him. He's a very technical fighter. I just wonder, like, is he ready for that kind of style? I mean, Usman is one thing to figure out. Usman seems to have lost a step, lost his confidence more than anything when you watch him fight now. His last fight in particular, like, he really had to grit it out to win. He's just lost a step from his dominant time. And it happens to fighters.
And he's got away from his wrestling.
Yeah.
With Leon, and again, I see that as so important in this fight, that Kobe does have that edge.
Right. And I think Kobe's going to be the more aggressive one.
He'll have to be. Yeah, I don't think you beat Edwards by sticking and moving. I mean, you got to just get in his grill.
Yeah.
And Kobe will.
And he's going to be in America. Edwards is from the UK. He's going to be in America. I mean, granted, it's going to be a different atmosphere than he's used to. But, yeah, Edwards has the ability to win by decision. Kobe has the ability to win by decision. But the big money bet would be Kobe by TKO or decision. I like that one. Edwards, you could do the same thing for Edwards. The last submission win that Kobe has was Wagner Silva in his second UFC fight. So, decision or TKO, Kobe, and their double chance. Or, I mean, you got a 50-50 this one, because this is a 50-50. depends on how these guys get prepared. You know, you have to really lean towards Edwards just because of that undefeated streak. He hasn't lost since 2015. Pretty incredible, considering the number of big name fighters. Almost everybody that Colby's beaten. More. So you got to lean towards him. I also think TKO or decision. I mean, he's got 7 knockouts, 3 submissions, and 11 decisions. His last submission was in 2016. That was his third or fourth UFC fight. Oh, no. No, he had 6. That was a 6th UFC fight. Emma. So, yeah, I mean, if I had to pick one, you know, I guess I'd go for Leon. TKO or decision. But Colby Covington, TKO or decision is probably higher odds. And I like the chances of that better. Just because he's hungry, you know, and he wants to get back in there. He wants the spotlight again. Edwards might be a little complacent. Might be a little too overconfident after beating the same guy twice. But this is not the same guy. So.
Yeah, and this could really be it for Colby, because if he blows a third chance at the title, that may be it. So
yeah.
I think he's highly motivated.
Oh, yeah. Well, you look at a guy like Tony Ferguson, though. He's got like 5 losses in a row, and they're still keeping him around. So I don't think they'll get rid of Colby.
That's sad. Now he's changed coaches again.
Yeah.
And he has, I guess, a Navy SEAL. I mean,
he's got
know,
a lizard,
it's
too.
Sad.
Been watching the
yeah.
embeddeds. He's got a lizard. I think Patty Pillman's going to tune him up. Might go to decision, you know, because it's just a 3-round fight. But Patty Pillman's going to do a number on Tony Ferguson.
But I just noticed throughout the years, when you start changing trainers all the time like that, changing camps, I mean, something's wrong. I mean, you look at these guys that have been lifelong champs, and they usually stay with the same trainer.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, why? Well, you know, why change success? You didn't see Ali get away from Angelo Dundee. Why change success?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a great number of wins to walk away. Tony does. 25-9-0. He's probably going to get his 10th loss here. Patty is just a surging up-and-comer young fighter, and he's just had twins. He's in the UFC embedded episodes, like, you know, doing things for fans and stuff like that, and, like, really, he's got, like, a really big following. He's got some good messages he's put out there about mental health, you know, over there in the UK, and, I mean, it's kind of like a Sean O'Malley type, but without the crudeness. Because he's just a really nice guy outside the cage. But, everybody wears wigs.
Look at the youth advantage. This is a young man's game.
Yeah.
Tony's 39, but he's an old 39.
Oh, yeah.
The beatings he's taken. The wars he's been in.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. I don't see him winning.
No. It's going to be a miracle. Same might be the case for Stephen Thompson. Wonder Boy might need a wondrous miracle. This is his real nickname. Shavkat Rachmanov. He is 17-0. And every single win has been by finish. Submission or knockout. So guess what, folks?
You know what?
My lock of the week. Rachmanov by TKO or submission.
Well, another one of those stand guys grown up on horse milk.
Yeah.
You know, this guy's and he is the consummate professional.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you watch the embedded, his attitude is flawless. I mean, it's everything you'd want in a fighter. And I think that Wonderboy's lack of ground game is really going to catch him here.
Yeah.
If this goes to the ground, I mean, I know that Wonderboy's hard to deal with on the feet, but again, he's never really got the ground game down. amazing he's lasted as long as he has.
Exactly.
But, my heart's with him, but my head is not. So.
Yeah, well, they did a good tribute to his, you know, little karate outfit there that he does with his father, and you know how he does a lot with his kids, the little young kids that he's teaching growing up and stuff. And good boy, he's really a good character with that. I've actually seen some YouTube videos where some dumbass decides to get leg kicked by him just to, you know, do the experiment.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Ridiculous.
And you know, the kids, they made a comment one time that they were talking about, it came up to something, but he says, oh, yeah, well, they're all my kids.
Yeah.
So that started a thread. There's about 300 of them. Okay, let's think about that, you know.
Yeah.
What is a woman's gestation period? 9 months? When does this guy have time to train?
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, they're all my kids.
And then the co-main event, the title fight at flyweight, Alexander Pantoja, 26-5. Facing Brandon Royval, 15-6. This is a rematch. Pantoja got a second round submission the first time, and his father actually was interviewed. Maybe it's his uncle. I don't know. But it's another Pantoja, and it coaches him. And they talked about his having an absentee father or something like that. And he said something in one of his post fight speeches about, "Are you proud of me now, Dad?" Like, so I don't know. I think it might be his uncle, but there was a Pantoja in the, an elder Pantoja, we'll say, in the embedded episodes that I just watched today. And he said something that made me go, geez, I know who my money's going on. And I know that's the guy's relative, but he said the time to fight Pantoja would have been a year ago or two, because every fight, every year he gets better. You know, just facing the better version of him. And Brandon Royval's appeal to some bettors is that he's also done really well since losing to Pantoja. And he has that knockout or, you know, submission type win streak going on. It makes you think this is this might be a good one, since Pantoja got him in the second round in the first fight, and Royval's had some first round luck since the loss. Might be one to do the old under bet, which I just actually started fooling around with last week. I'd never really done a lot of that, and so it was like the only option with some of the PFL cards, you know, under 2.5 rounds, under 1.5 rounds, over. And I see that a lot on the betting shows. They'll recommend that, but it's like I'm so used to the other methods, and like the odds are so much better, I don't really touch those unders and overs. But this might be an under 2.5 round bet easily, you know. It's probably not a good chance to go the distance with these two guys having that experience with each other and being able to finish fights at that weight. So we'll see. But I like Pantoja, if you got to pick one or the other. Definitely like him by submission, primarily. And Vicente Luque lost a fight this week, but now they're saying he's going against an unknown fighter here on Sherdog. So they might salvage a fight. I believe Kevin Holland was trying to lobby for it. Vicente Luque agreed that would be a good fight, and they might do it at 180 catchweight. But, yeah, we don't know. I haven't heard anything official on that. So that one might not happen. And then we got Josh Emmett, real journeyman at featherweight. 18-4 coming in against Bryce Mitchell, 16-1. Maybe not Donald Trump's favorite fighter, but has a lot of stuff that Donald Trump would like. But yeah, he's a farm guy, and he does a lot of videos about his farm life. Emmett, just a big, stocky dude, likes to wrestle. I like Bryce Mitchell in this one, honestly. But
yeah, I would agree.
The big but, though, Emmett could steal a decision if it goes the distance. So might be one of those.
Or knockout. I mean, he's got a lot of power, but he just really. I mean, I know that they both lost to Ilya, but Emmett just really it was a disappointing night for him.
Yeah.
He just couldn't land anything.
That's a good one. If you don't want to pick, if you don't want to pick either guy, that's a good one to pull the trigger on it to go the distance bet. I like Irene Aldana by TKO or decision over Carol Rosa. She was pretty dominant before the last fight she had against a girl who has one of the most impressive win totals in women's UFC. Carol Rosa just doesn't have the high level experience that Aldana has, bantamweight. That's another one that could go the distance. So TKO or decision, I think, for Aldana. Cody Garbrandt versus Brian Kelleher. Now, Garbrandt has been on and off over the years. He looked pretty good in his last fight, but he was very cautious. He's always very cautious. He moves so unpredictably and does all these feints. I know that's your style, but it's just hard to predict how he's going to win fights. This one, he's got a guy who's got a lot of experience, 24-14. But Brian Kelleher's lost a couple fights in a row. Cody Garbrandt's starting to put together a better set of outcomes. So, I don't know. This one's a tough one. I might even just stay away from this altogether. But like I said, if I had to pick, I guess I'd go with Garbrandt. Because I think he needs to win more. Kelleher seems like a utility guy. They just bring him in. You know, when they need a name, guy with experience to really push somebody who's trying to get back in the mix. Garbrandt's not in, you know, title contention yet, but if he knocks this guy out, he's going to be. So, like Garbrandt, TKO or decision. Casey O'Neill and Arian Lipsky. This one's kind of tough. You got Lipsky with the overall more experience, but she's also susceptible to the knockout. So I go O'Neill on that one, TKO or decision. I mean, I hate to say it, like I'm not being feminist, I mean, or anti-female, but that's a safe bet all the time in most female fights to bet to go the distance. You don't have to pick either girl, number one, and number two. I mean, it's just so many times, more often than not, the female fights do go the distance. And it could be a good thing, you know, it's not putting females down. It could just be because, like I always say, women still seem to be at that attitude in the life of the sport where they're fighting for all womankind, you know, because you don't ever see a fight with more women fights than men. It's never happened, as far as I can. Outside of Invicta. But, yeah. So, they're always going to have to really fight extra hard for the good attention. So, we'll see. I don't know if this one's going to get there, because Lipsky has been knocked out a few times. We got, speaking of knockouts, light heavyweight, Alonzo Menifield and Dustin Jacoby. And this one, I'm going to call this one a 50-50 fight. You know, 7 losses for Jacoby, but he is one tough cookie at light heavyweight. No cheap date, as Tom would say. I like Menifield by knockout. He's got 10 of them, 14 wins, 10 of them knockouts, I think it was that I checked that today. So Jacoby could win by knockout or decision. So, you know, I just had to do 2 different parlays, put one on one side, the other on the other side. You're going to do it that way, but you can also just stay away from that fight entirely. Then we got flyweights. Tagir Ulanbekov, 14-2. Doesn't have a whole lot of UFC experience, but he's going up against Cody Durden, who is 16-4-1. I like Ulanbekov, you know. Does have a little bit less experience, but he has been more dominant with his finishes. So I'm going to go submission or decision for Ulanbekov on that one. I know a lot of people are rallying around Durden, but who knows me, Ulanbekov's going to get the job done there. And I'm going to use this guy's nickname, but I'm a little touchy about this next bet. Andre Touchy Feely, 22-10, fighting Lucas Almeida, who's 14-2. You'd think, you know, just based on the 10 losses Feely has, that Almeida would be the sure pick. But I like Feely, just money line, straight money line bet, because you don't know how he's going to win. But I don't know. Almeida does not have enough high-level experience for me to just jump on board. So I'm going to string that one into something that's going to be my money line on Feely. And Martin Boudet, 13-1, a heavyweight, fighting Shamil Gaziev, undefeated at 11-0. Got to go with Gaziev. He's got TKO or submission threat. Boudet tends to wait to get the job a little too long. Gaziev likes to get it done quick. Boudet might have a little bit more high-level experience, but Gaziev's just on a tear. He's undefeated. Not going for him. And then the Muslim fight of the night. It's the first fight of the night. Muslim Salikov, 19-4, fighting Randy Brown, who's 17-5. And I have not dived into this fiction yet. So just looking at their records, I'd got to say go for Randy. If I do. Who knows? Let's see if we got any news. Episode. Let's talk about Ebony Bridges already, right? No, I don't think any news. Except that Kevin Holland story. Yeah, so, I mean, sure dog can be wrong. We've seen that before, but we got a video here of Vicente Luque already in town and on one. There you go. I don't know how that would work. Such last minute. I mean, weigh-ins supposed to be tomorrow, typically. So that's really short notice. But if they're doing a catch weight and they don't have to worry about weight, that's a whole other issue. So I think they might make it happen. If that fight does happen, I don't know. Man, that's a tough one. I like Luque, though. He's just got a very dynamic style. I don't know if he would have beaten Gary, but could be Holland. Could definitely be Holland. So we got any other big stories, but I don't think I have looked at my daily Google alert. Patty Pimblett. Yeah. He and Gary, we already talked about it a little bit, but yeah, he's out of the fight with Luque because of a pneumonia. Oh, Jesus. Haney superhuman rehydration raises alarms, causing a shadow on victory, casting a shadow on victory. I don't know what that's all about. Spitting it, sir. There's an article about Gervonta Davis taunting Devin Haney. Whatever will they do about that? Jake Paul versus Andre August sets record for highest boxing live gate ever in Orlando. Well then, here it is. Adrian Broner training. Oh, no, that's a different guy. Never Andre Berto. Adrian Broner training, the comeback kid ready for a new beginning.
Oh, boy.
We'll see if he's about billions. All right, so, yeah, there's a guy, Zarafa, caught in a shocking spitting incident mid-world title saga. Convention of the WBA boxing organization went nuts as the son of Australian Michael Zarafa's agent allegedly spat in the face of renowned boxing manager Samson Lukowitz. The dispute stemmed from discussions between Zarafa's agent Elvis Grant and Lukowitz, manager of WBA champion Ruslandi Lara, over a potential world title fight. The son of Elvis Grant, a famous boxing glove manufacturer, as well as Zarafa's agent, then allegedly spat in the face of 72-year-old Lukowitz. Zarafa can be seen in footage of the heated exchange that followed the alleged spitting, and his legendary former boxer and Golden Boy Promotions executive, Bernard Hopkins, intervened. Huh. That's what you call a spat. Fucking Hopkins had to break up the spat. Imagine that. You know, you get in a spitting match literally with somebody and fucking Bernard Hopkins breaks it up.
I know. Bernard Hopkins breaking up a fight does not seem right.
Call the police. He spit in my face, Lukowitz told Hopkins. Hopkins then engaged in a shouting match with a member of Grant's entourage before confronting Grant himself after saying, "Where'd that punk ass Elvis go?" He spit in Samson's face, Hopkins told WBA Chief Gilberto Jesus Mendoza. I told him, you don't do that here. He then appeared to offer to fight Grant Sr., saying, motherfucker, let's me and you, like men, go in the bathroom by ourselves. Her son spit in his face. Grant replied, nodding, yeah, that's right. Crazy. Well, Zarafa actually stunned the boxing world earlier this year when he walked away from an IBF middleweight world title fight with Brazil's Esquivar Falco. He had been the WBA's number one ranked contender and the mandatory challenger to fight Lara for the world title, but took a reported six-figure payout so Lara could take on Danny Garcia. That fight had been slated for August 5th, but has still not been locked in despite multiple date and revenue and venue changes, and could falter with Garcia now considering dropping a weight class. So, Rafa spoke to Fox Sports last week saying enough is enough when it comes to delays over his mandated title bout with Lara. Son of Elvis Grant, who manages Rafa, then allegedly spat in the face of 72-year-old Lukowitz. So Lukowitz actually has filed battery charges with the Orlando police over the incident. And there's actually footage of the incident. So good luck getting away on that one. I've actually been in a fight over somebody spitting on me. So I have previous experience in this territory. I beat the fuck out of the guy. Yeah, I was at work too, so it's kind of awkward. But, yeah, it's like a road rage situation. The guy just started yelling at me. And I was going to apologize to him. You know, it's like, I'm at work. I knew I got caught at work. And it wasn't really my fault or anything. I was just pulling out of a driveway, and the guy was trying to go too fast down the road, so he got pissed. And so anyway, he gets out of the car and starts screaming at me, and then just leans in the window and spits in my face.
Now, oh, shit.
I was actually sick myself. Like, I had some kind of flu going on. But, you know, fighter is a fighter to the day he dies.
Right.
You know, so I get spit on and the shit changes. So no longer am I apologizing. Right. Pop the door open, get out, punch him once, twice in the head. Blood starts pouring down to his nose. He actually might have clipped me in the lip, but, you know, there's no blood. So anyway, I ended up hockey fighting him from there after the first two punches, just right straight to his forehead. Grabbed him by the shirt. Kind of drug him across the back of the car and then ended up on the shoulder of the road on top of him. And as I'm getting ready to even think about throwing another punch on this dude, I look up and somebody else has gotten out of their vehicle and they're heading towards me. And then I look over and there's a school bus stop with all the kids getting out of the end of school. So I get off the guy, no more punishment. And he goes his separate way and just turns right down the side street and disappears. So it was funny, really, because I got a lot of shit from my bosses, but when I went to go get the police report, I went to the police station and told them who I was, and they said, oh, no, we checked all hospitals and morgues, and we couldn't find them. So I don't think you got any stitches, but if you picked the wrong guy to fuck around with, that day. But yeah, spitting is assault. I found that out from that situation. It's actually assault in most states.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you a funny one real quick. I'm going back to 20 years ago. My dad and I were talking about it last night. Only not even a mile from, where I live. I used to go to a fitness center, and it was a little place. I actually taught some boxing classes there. There's a little mom-and-pop fitness center, kind of reminding you of Average Joe's from the movie Dodgeball. And so when I would leave my house, I'd go up to the top of the street, which is about, a quarter of a mile, make a right, and I'd go down about not even three quarters of a mile and come to an intersection with a traffic light, and you make a left. And you would go up there, and then the gym would be right up there on the left. So we're going there one night, and I'm going to do a 20-round boxing workout. So I'm already starting to wind up. The caffeine's hitting my system. I'm feeling good. I'm going to beat the shit out of something for 20 rounds. I feel good. My dad is driving because we're going together. We're going to do some bag work. We're going to do some pad work. I'm going to jump rope. It's going to be a good workout. So we come to the intersection. We have a red light. Okay, so we're sitting at the red light. Now we get the green arrow. The green arrow means the people that are making the left have the right of way. You make your left. Some big, fat, hillbilly slob in a beat-up piece-of-shit pickup truck is opposed to us. He goes to make a right in front of us. Now, he's already wrong because we have the arrow, which would have pissed me off enough as it is. But the fact that this unshaven piece of shit, can't hold a job, welfare white trash son of a bitch, leans his disgusting face out of the driver's side with his middle finger raised and says something. And so my dad goes to honk the horn and say something back. He never gets a word out because I start going off. And I'm calling, and I use the word motherfucker probably enough to, I could probably make the Guinness Book of World Records for the time that word was said in a single conversation without taking a breath. And I am going off, and I'm going off. Now, we are right behind him, and I'm going off, and I'm making gestures and all that, and you can see him now, in his truck, right in front of us. Windows are down because it's, warm out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do you want to pull over? You want to say something? You want to say it to my face? You fat motherfucker. I'll fucking kill you. And now he's got his hands on the thing, and he's just looking straight ahead. He won't even turn. And I'm pointing to the parking lot. I'm like, pull in there. Pull in there. Let's handle this. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. He had nothing to say that. Because it would have been about the similar situation.
He was trying to do a drive-by, Tony.
He walked like a weeble.
So
it would have been like hitting a weeble, and he would just kind of bounce back up, and I'd knock him down again. I mean, I wouldn't knock any teeth out, because I don't think he had it.
I was actually wondering about those today. That's funny you mentioned that. Do they still make those?
What, weebles?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a good question. They used to be so awesome when we were kids.
Oh, we were great, shit like that.
Yeah, cool shit. All right, well, getting close to Christmas. Next week, I guess, will be our last show. Then we'll have a week off, maybe. I don't know.
Christmas falls on a Monday this year, so you figured next week will be the 21st, and then you'd have the 28th. So it's not like it's Christmas. I mean, if you want to get on the 28th and talk about that big card on the 23rd, you can do an abbreviated show.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that. But anyway, I hope everybody gets what they want this Christmas.
I'm looking good stuff right now. I got to decide what I want to buy myself.
The Santa pimp hat.
Let's see how that goes. Well, I can't find one that I like. Now I'm trying to find a sleeveless dress-up shirt.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I bought one before, but it was an Asian size. Stuffed sausage in it.
You should just get the top hat reupholstered with Santa Claus and a white dot on the top. That would be funny.
Well, the Santa pimp I have is pretty good, but it's like it's so worn that it's like the brim of it is just all bent up now. Because it's like a flexible brim, right?
Yeah.
So it's like every time I put it on, it's like every 2 minutes I try to straighten the brim out so it doesn't like blind me. And the foam, what do you call it, fur around the trim of the hat is basically almost brown now.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, good luck with your search. And until next
week.
I
will try. I'm wearing the shirt and the hat. I want to be stylish this year.
Right. All right. Well, guess we're going to call it a night. Thanks for stopping by. I got to update. I got to remind myself here. I got to update the description because right now it says we make it up as we go along.
We really do.
Sometimes we do. All right. Got to get another guest on here. New year, new me. New guest. We'll work on it.
Well, gentlemen, as always, a pleasure, and I guess I will talk to you fine folks soon.
All right.
All right, guys. Enjoy the fight.
Have a good one. Bye.